I hate listening to the sound of my own voice more than anything. Oh my God. This is the host. This is not only our host, but this is the guy who takes care of recording. This is great. Am I recording? I don't know.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Two Dimension Podcast, the comic book podcast with no direction. I am your host, Dallas Busha, and we have a crazy hot mess of a team here. And I'm going to go around, and you might recognize a couple of the crew, and a lot of people are new. So why don't you cats introduce yourselves?
What's up, everybody? It's Rook.
Al.
Hey, how you doing? It's Cameron.
This is Greg.
Trev Dog Millionaire, a.k.a. NPR's Finest, a.k.a. Liquid Swords.
A.k.a. the Riz of the Jizz of the
Ghostface
Killer.
A.k.a. E-Town, you know it.
So we got three new guys here, Cameron, Craig, and Trevor, and we got Dylan.
Come on, Dylan.
Say something, Dylan.
No, he's not. He's interested in his book right
Dylan
now.
Dylan is Trevor's trained monkey, so hopefully he'll be saying something.
How dare you?
I can't wait for your wife
to hear that comment.
Oh, she's not going to listen to this, is she?
I fucking hope not.
All right, guys. Thank you, everyone, for listening. That's going to wrap it up. So, we're going off on a tangent a little bit on this episode. We might do some comic talk, but as usual, we're going to just start talking about random shit. As you know, whenever Al and Don take the helm, they're always talking about Filipino movies and things like that.
Yeah, obscure stuff that you don't care about.
So, the topic today is video games, and I kind of wanted us to talk about what video game systems, what games defined our childhood, and what if we're still playing today, what kind of games we play. So I thought it'd be kind of a fun topic to go. So, everybody in?
I just had like a mean 8-hour power session on Super Nintendo today, so I'm ready to go.
Excellent.
This is awesome.
This is the crew to be working with today.
Let me introduce you to my Sony Ericsson, which I have a sweet Super Nintendo system on here. With like 30 Super Nintendo games. I've been playing Zelda 3. I haven't used it. Well, Rook, you still have the console, right? The Super Nintendo console?
I have the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, the original Sega, and PlayStation 2, 3, and Xbox 360.
Sega, not Sega Genesis?
No, I have Sega.
Dreamcast is probably one of my favorite systems, hand down. Yeah.
I even had the Atari Jaguar. That was a horrible, horrible video game system.
Anybody afford the Neo Geo when they were a kid?
You had one? Oh my God, really?
Get this guy a mic!
What's up? I couldn't afford the batteries for it.
what games did you enjoy on it though? Because they had a lot of like strange strategy games.
Honestly, I never had a Neo Geo, but I had a friend that had one, and the only games we played were like The Art of Fighting and Fatal Fury and those.
Fatal Fury is amazing.
Yeah, Fatal Fury was the bomb.
What character were you mostly?
I don't remember his name.
Like, dude with, the blonde hair?
Yeah, no, the guy, he probably looked like Ryu or Ken. That's probably why I played him.
it reminded me a lot of King of Fighters, which a lot of people...
I played, the 95 version, I think it was the only one, King of Fighters 95. So, okay, so you had a Neo Geo.
Mm-hmm.
What other systems did you have, or do you have?
I have NES with the cartridges. I hate blowing into them. everyone's like, it takes me back, but then you're sitting there and you're...
That's the classic part, though. That's how you know it's
taking
a good...
Q-tip in the cleaner.
You know what somebody showed me recently when I was at the flea market? The guy took a nail file and he cleaned off the edges like that.
Yeah.
Game works perfect every damn time now.
My favorite for NES that would be a throwback to childhood would be Dragon Warrior.
Oh God,
nice.
That was the very
nice.
First video game I ever beat in my life. I never beat Mario, but
first controller I've ever
Warrior.
Thrown at the TV was because I couldn't beat a Metal Slime. Couldn't beat a Metal Slime.
Oh yeah, I remember those bitches.
You're like, right. Oh, yeah,
that's,
I'm level 35.
That's kind of messed up when you think about it. How much did we actually throw controllers as kids? And now the damn thing's like $50 for a controller. Nobody's throwing that thing.
The economy stops you. You're like, I don't have $50.
Well, and also the fact that your parents were buying you replacement controllers and TVs weren't made with little tiny LCD screens anymore.
That's a very good point. Well, I remember when I played – I think one of the first systems I had was the NES, and when I played, I would play Ninja Gaiden was my favorite game, and when my character would have to jump to the right, I'd swing my arms and the controller to the right, and my older brother would always be sitting behind me watching, he'd smack me in the back of the head every time I did that. So I learned real quick not to move the controller around and not to throw it or anything like that.
Well, you also did it on like Excite Bike when you were going to the left and the right, you'd find yourself tilting like
you were
in a space simulator.
I am an Excite Bike god.
You know, I still do that on Mario Kart.
We might have to test that theory because I think I have Excite Bike.
I love Excite Bike.
So, Cameron, what systems do you have?
Right now, I have a PS3 and a 360. Naturally, fuck the Wii.
Excuse me, I think the Wii is amazing.
Well, you also have the mentality of a 12-year-old, so of course
that's why I
amazing.
Like old systems.
Skyward Sword?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Skyward Sword's amazing. I also like their premise for the Metroid game was really, like, innovative. I liked it.
That was by, was it Rare, or what company did that?
It was Rare.
Yeah.
But I did like that one. I like the new premise they're coming out with these Star Wars games, too. The Kinect has, like, just really cool, like, ideas, get you involved.
Star Wars,
So you don't look like that kid on YouTube with the mop stick.
That's classic.
Yeah, but now I can't be, you know, petitioned to be on the new Star Wars movie because I'm the kid with the mop stick. Come on, man.
Al, you play any video games currently?
No.
Okay, well that leads. This
don't
is the
make
perfect,
any Filipino games.
This is the perfect segue. So let's start. Let's go back in time then. Let's talk about the first games that we experienced or the ones that we remember. And kind of left a mark when we were kids or when we were younger. So, Rook, you want to start it? Let's go around. Let's go around the table here.
I can definitely say that NES, the original Bionic Commando, has to be the game that sticks out the most in my mind. It's actually kind of – it's the crowning achievement of my collection that I cannot find this goddamn game for under $50 as well. I mean, I found the game, don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to pay $50 for the goddamn thing.
You want to play it on my phone?
No, I don't want to play it on your phone. I don't want to play Bionic Commando Rearmed on PlayStation 3. I want the original Nintendo Bionic Commando. But that game, it stood out in my mind because it was an awesome game. There was no jump. It was shoot and sling the arm. That's it. That's all you could do, you know? It was cool as hell. I love that game.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think because we both grew up together, we've been BFFs
for 40 years.
Dude, you never call me your BFF again? I swear I might punch you.
Yeah, but we grew up playing Bionic Commando together.
Oh, dude.
So I got the same experience with that game. It's freaking amazing.
I remember as kids, there used to be a video game rental store, a video store, right across the street
corner
from
Miles Stretch.
Yeah, Miles Stretch and 19. Do you remember the day we went in? Yes, it was the USA.
That was it, dude.
Do you remember the day we went in there? We rented the game Power Blade. It had just come out. 2 or 3 hours later, we're back at the store with the game, and the guy's like, "What are you doing?" We're like, "We beat the game. We want another one." And he made us a deal that if we could beat the game in less than, like, I don't know, it was something like 5 or 6 hours, and we were just under the mark. Walked from my house to the store.
Yeah.
So from the store to my house, beat the game, and then walked back within, I don't know, like 2.5, maybe 3 hours.
You know what game we rented and we never beat? Battletoads.
Oh my
God. That fucking game, man.
Dude.
Remember that?
Beat that?
I would have lied to the guy and told him you beat it. Would you have to take a picture of the screen or something?
No, we did beat it.
Yeah, but if you didn't, you could just tell him you did.
There wasn't even Polaroids back then. Like, you had to
Had 38 millimeter
film.
You couldn't take your iPhone and snap a picture.
Yeah, we could, you know, bust out the cell phone, take a screenshot, bring it up there, and be like, here you go. All
right, so Super Nintendo, what you got? Because that was around the same era, a couple years later.
Super.
Yeah, and it's still hands down.
There's
one
so
of the
many good games
ever.
For Super Nintendo, but I. When the system released, the game that I wanted the most was Metroid. You know, Pilot Wings, really, dude?
That and the other like two games that were released with the system.
Well, you know, I always loved Super Metroid, and to this day, I will still play Super Metroid like crazy. I don't care. I'll sit down and I'll go, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours on Super Metroid.
Do you prefer Metroid NES or? Super Nintendo Metroid, because Metroid NES for me was the hardest one ever.
Metroid NES was cool, but I think the Super Nintendo Metroid, I like that one better because it was basically the same goddamn game.
No, you do what every one of us did. You waited? You died on purpose so you could see a weird, like, bright, light, glowing, naked lady.
No, wait a second.
No. It was at the end of Super Metroid. You had to beat the game in something,
and
like, under 2 hours, and she was in a bikini.
And she wasn't even, she didn't even have boobies. Not, like, decent ones.
Let me interject with the
well,
original.
Well, she was also, what, like, 16-bit, okay?
With the original Metroid?
16-bit boobies.
The reason I don't like the original Metroid, I got that game as a kid. I spent months and months getting through that whole game, trudging through, drawing the map out on, like, fucking graph paper. I beat the game. The next month after I beat the game, the next issue of Nintendo Power that came out had, like, a review of it and had the entire game mapped out. So pissed.
Of course. You know, super, Nintendo Power did that kind of crap to you all the time as kids.
I'd have to say Super Metroid is much better than the original, though. I like it.
I enjoy the original. I don't know why. I just like it.
I think the biggest problem I have with the original Nintendo games, like let's take Super Metroid, Kid Icarus, Blaster Master, it was all the same goddamn game, just change out the hero.
Yeah, that's true. I still find that older systems like Super Nintendo, NES, and Sega are like have the hardest games, and all the new games they're coming out with are like a piece of cake.
Ghouls and Ghosts?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Ghouls and Ghosts?
That is impossible.
Ghouls and Ghosts?
Even DuckTales was
wait.
Hard.
Yeah. How about Altered Beast?
What is? Really?
DuckTales. Favorite game of all time. Himalayas, the Amazon.
The future with the robots with one wheel.
Yeah. Transylvania, absolutely.
Goonies was a hard one, too.
Oh, Goonies.
I hated that.
Yes.
Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th. Anybody ever tried to play those
Maniac
Mansion pieces of shit?
Okay. Friday the 13th was probably the most terrible game besides Hannah Montana, the movie, the game.
Yes. Absolutely impossible. Like, I don't even know what the point of the game was.
I would have much rather done button presses to ride a fake horse than try to kill campers as Jason.
Did you guys ever play Maniac Mansion?
Yes.
You
absolutely.
Know, 1,001 ways to die, but only one way to win. I mean, come on. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
The best part was the hamster in the microwave.
Oh, yeah. The hamster in the microwave was the best.
How many freaking games are there, man? This is insane.
Dude, I bet
you're
you
like,
Google
never heard of any of this. What is going on? What are these guys talking
about?
I
guarantee you Google has that answer. How many video games have ever been made? Boom. Yeah. Right there.
Siri. Okay. So we're on this topic. We're still with Rook. So, overall, your favorite system of all time? Silence.
Favorite system of all time? I mean...
It's Alzheimer's kicked in.
Oh, yeah. Don't even start with me. Alzheimer's. Look at you, Alzheimer's. I will actually say Nintendo 64.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Because of fucking Shadows of the Empire?
Shadows of the Empire, Zelda on
GoldenEye.
Shadows of the Empire was a
GoldenEye.
Yeah.
GoldenEye.
There
we
go.
We can't not
let's
talk about GoldenEye.
Let's talk
Pokemon
Snap. Let us talk
Pokemon
about
Stadium.
Possibly
really
the greatest first-person shooter game ever made.
Quake.
GoldenEye.
GoldenEye.
I love Quake.
Come on. John Parks, we used to smoke weed and play that game for hours. Sometimes when I go to sleep, I hear the theme music.
It was paused the whole time. They just didn't know it.
Well, that was the same with us. When I first moved out of my mom's house, I was probably 18, and that's when, you know, 64 was big. And we had – my buddy Mark and I lived with, we had that game on nonstop because we had people come in and out. It was a party house. That game was probably on for like a month at a time. You know, the system was never turned off. Someone was constantly playing that game 24 hours a day. So great.
You know, and I just recently – and I'm building my collection. I only have two games right now for Nintendo 64, Star Fox and
that's a great game.
Mortal Kombat.
Are you talking cartridges?
Yes.
I have 11. And I paid big money to get them, too, because when I got the system on the online, it was still wrapped up. And then I was browsing for untouched cartridges. And to get Ocarina of Time was like $250.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Ocarina of Time is expensive.
And I like the premise of that whole game. Just there were objects to find. There were missions you had to do, and it was
story-wise too. It was a big step up because when the whole trick when you find the sword and whatnot, you turn into you go forward in time.
That you got your Ocarina and you had like almost spells you could do with the day and the night and calling your horse even. Yeah.
It really was.
So how long would it take you guys to play one of these games?
Ocarina of Time took me 6 weeks.
Ellie got me Skyward Sword in November, and I've still playing that thing. I'm about 80 hours into it almost.
It's so hard.
I did a speed run on Ocarina of Time. I got it done in 22 and a half hours.
Damn, that's pretty good.
That's flipping through the strategy guide like
that. Yeah.
It was. This thing's bigger than a Bible.
Half of it was spent jacking off thinking about Zelda.
Like, I gotta
say, young
that
Zelda or
like
old Zelda?
Old Zelda, of course.
Old Zelda. Yeah. So, I played a few of these games sometimes, but mostly like sports games. What's the deal with the cheats? Because I was playing against kids, people's kids, and they were beating the crap out of me. And I got pissed off or whatever. So,
now you're talking about online games.
No, no, I'm talking about video games like PS2 or whatever. There was like cheats for them that they would have books.
Oh yeah, there's always been cheats. I mean, cheats have always been built into
magazines,
games. Backdoor ways for programmers and testers to be able to get through the game quickly, review it, put it into a magazine, and they're still built in just for the fact that, you know, different websites, they need to be able to get through a game and review it quickly so that they can say, you know, this is what the game's really like.
So cheats are in every game, then? It's not
just
a sports
game?
Yeah,
and it's not every game.
There are some games there's some people who do make games. Like, you have a lot of software people or the actual game designers who refuse to put cheats in.
Okay, all right.
I prefer those, too. Like, people who do... like crappy games. PlayStation had this game called Eternalize, and it was a game premise almost like Pokemon, but what it was you got these dummies that you could find, like puppets, and what you would do is you would put your life spirit into them, and you could make them like pumpkin, or you like would create your puppet, and it would fight for you, and would move them like chess pieces when you got into a battle. So you'd have like 20, like 1 to 20 puppets, and it was like no cheats at all. Hardest game I've ever played. Because you have to know chess, too, because, like, you do have your pawn. You have your strongest character and the pawns, and you have – and you're building your chess pieces. So when you fight that big guy at the end, he has all his and you have all yours, and it's just this strategic
– what system was this for?
PlayStation.
Okay, that's what I thought. I've never heard of that.
Eternalize. It's hard, but it's kind of fun. It's very – it's creative. It's a hands-on kind of game because you can make your own monster characters based on items you find on your missions and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, because my friends had these PS2, I think it was, and they had some wrestling games. It was a dopey wrestling game, but these guys would make their own characters, like whoever their favorite actor was or something like that. And then they would, like, actually make them and play, fight against each other. We found out
that's awesome.
That YouTube, there's a whole group of people that make characters or whatever.
Like, I'd make Doink the Downey Jr.
Yeah, exactly. What
I do. You know what I want to do is sit Al down for an entire weekend, make him play through each generation system, like in chronological order, and let him see how games are getting more advanced. And so you get up to snuff real quick.
I don't know. The best wrestling game I ever played was on Sega. When you had Bam Bam Bigelow and Yokozuna.
Oh,
and
well,
Razor
Ramon. Man, that's cool.
But you were like moving, so
now
crappy.
That was I don't know if it was the same game because I played on the Super Nintendo Super WrestleMania. Which is, I think, the first...
That was it. That was it.
Yeah, the first wrestling game for
Super,
SNES.
Yeah, Super WrestleMania and then WrestleMania for the... Yeah,
oh, okay.
Same one.
But,
where Doink the Clown had the
hammer.
I was
always the Undertaker.
And you could always just bop him on the
head. Well, on those games, you could create their own characters. These guys were making, like, Boris Karloff characters, Frankenstein, Dracula, political people, and they were fighting against each other. One guy made a caricature of his ex-wife, and he beat her up or whatever.
You're thinking...
Oh, wow, that's...
PlayStation came out, or PS2 came out with the WWE SmackDown, where you could do the create your character.
That's awesome.
I had a buddy of mine do the Jesus versus Santa Claus from South Park. It was so funny. Throwing TVs and hammers in the ring. It was hilarious.
All right, Cameron. What are some of the systems or some of the games that you grew up with, or maybe even like the first game you can remember playing?
The first game I can remember playing was on Super Nintendo. It was called Bust a Move.
It's
also known as Bubble Bobble.
Yeah.
Okay. That game was marketed as having something that had never been done in a game before, and you got it if you beat the story mode, 100 levels on there. So I'm playing through every night after I get done with homework, school, whatever, and writing down all the little passcodes that were alphanumeric. So I had this notebook that was filled up with every level, just in case I had a power flash or something.
Yeah, NES, man.
Get through level 100, and it goes, okay, now here's your prize. And it was the fucking credits. It was the first time that the credits had ever been put in a video game was in Bust a Move for the Super Nintendo.
Really? That was the first time you did it?
I broke a TV with that.
Back when they had square TVs, no flat stuff.
Yeah, it was really CRT, bulletproof screens and all that.
Throwing bricks at it and everything.
Because of that.
Bust a Move, really.
You know, I spent 3.5 weeks working on that game. I'm like, yeah, I'm level 90, 98, 99, 100. Woo, what did I get? Credits.
B- busted TV.
I don't really care that Takahashi Saito-san, whatever the hell his name is, did the level design or the character design. I didn't really care. But now the credits are being played as, you know, a long cutscene.
Dude, I gotta put that up in my face, dude.
That was for the Freddy and Jason
Trevor's
games.
Farted in the microphone.
Tribute.
Now I have to put this mic up to my face.
Oh, it's fine. It smells like strawberries.
Yeah, if you dipped them in poop.
It smells like Christmas morning.
Christmas morning in
Well, now they're using credits to advance storylines and continue on to the online portion and promoting
DLC. Oh, yeah.
DLC.
Now, we're not excluding
good
PC
music
games, right?
And cutscenes,
some PC
all
games
that
are
stuff.
Amazing to me.
Oh, yeah. Now they use credit. I mean, hell, credits show up in the beginning of games now, even.
Yeah, Uncharted they stole 3. That from Lucas,
yeah,
though.
Exactly.
They did movies, and they're like, hey, let's try this out. Do you know when Lucas put the credits in the beginning of Star Wars that he had to pay?
Yeah, he actually got fined by
the
guild.
Like, it was like $2 million or whatever. Just
Screenwriters Guild or
just
whatever.
Just to put his credits in the beginning.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and he
paid
it
because, that was because some people would arrive late to the movies, and they wanted to make sure that no matter what time you got to the movie, if you stayed through the end, you would see who was responsible for all that stuff. But when Lucas put it in the beginning, what's to say you don't walk in 5 minutes late and you miss who was the costume designer for...
Who gives
Alien
a shit?
Number 3 in Mos Eisley Cantina.
That makes perfect sense. I never really knew the reason why, you know.
Ron, who gives a shit is that costume designer that worked 3 months just to see his name in the credits and he missed it.
Yeah, well, you know what? The costume designer can sit there and watch the beginning and the end of the movie to see their goddamn name, okay?
Yeah, but
you know?
he wants to prove to his family that he actually did something with that shitty community college
exactly.
degree that he got.
Yeah, like that guy who was the cameraman at Toxic Avenger. He's still riding that one out.
He goes, hey, Mom, did you see it? I did that. She's like, yeah, I got it 5 minutes late.
What was it? Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. We had to wait all the way to the end of the goddamn credits. And then at the very end, it said special thanks to, and it was the first however many goddamn people emailed Kevin Smith. He put their name into the movie credits. And it was 4 lines of names, no space in between them, just rolling and at like triple speed. And our friend is sitting there going, I didn't see my name. Really?
Speaking of that, I'm a producer of a documentary coming out by comedian Joey Coco Diaz. You ever heard of him?
Ding, ding.
No, I haven't even seen the documentary yet, so I don't know anything about him.
It's not out yet, but he's a very funny comedian on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he did a documentary, and I sent him $20 on PayPal to make this documentary, and he said if you send over $5, he'll put your name in the credits as a producer. So when this comes out, you'll see my first production credit. I'm making an IMDb page for it and everything.
Nice.
And you know what that's going to be worth?
Goodness.
Yeah. He just built all that up.
He held
that.
Some back, actually. That was you should have crapped your pants on that one.
At least you didn't bring a lighter this time.
He did Kickstarter before everybody else did.
So Cameron, bust a move, man. Really?
Yeah, bust a move.
First game.
Yeah.
What about systems?
Yeah. What else? You
systems. Well, I had Sega Genesis. Favorite on that was Sonic Spinball.
Sonic Spinball.
That
talk
was
about
wow.
dude. Talk
Vector
about
Man.
Your first
Vector
trip.
Man. I used to go to
Vector
daycare.
Man.
I used to go to daycare, and we would play Vector Man on Sega, and I would send everybody outside. I'd be like, I'm going to beat Vector Man real quick, and I'd put in ABBA down, ABBA start, and that was the code for the level select. I'd get all the way to the end of it, and then everybody would come back inside and go, whoa, he's sitting against the tornado guy. I'd be like, yeah, I'm pretty
you
awesome, man.
Cheating bastard.
Hey, that was the one time I did it.
Hey, I did it. I've only used cheats on one game, and it was Dark Forces for PlayStation, Star Wars-based game. It was Left OX. Down OX, up OX, and you had a choice between whether you wanted invincibility or just one hit kill, and I just breezed through the game in 5 minutes.
Alright, gentlemen, the most famous cheat ever, the Contra code.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start. Well, you only had it select if you wanted two players. It's
yeah,
that's why it's the Konami.
A lot of designers put that in there as an homage to it.
Yeah, and now there's even a T-shirt that has the code on it, and then underneath it says, "I will cheat on you."
Well, that's a Deftones song too.
Really?
The name of the song. It was on. Was it on the last album? No, it was on
the one before the last.
Saturday Night Wrist. Yeah. Okay. Well, before we jump into Al, I want
to
take a quick music break.
I'm so ready.
Okay. Well, actually, here's a fantastic segue. We're going to take a music break. When we come back, old Trev Dog here has an amazing story about how he ate shit. Okay, but first, we, as you guys normally, as you know, we normally have local bands play, and that's how we have our music breaks. Well, for the next series of episodes, we're going to be doing, like our favorite bands, basically, our favorite songs. So this episode, I'm gonna go first, and then later on in the show, we're gonna have a second song, and it's gonna be Rook's pick. So the first song here is, by a band called Glassjaw. The song's called All Good Junkies Go to Heaven. Enjoy. Jump to Trevor Nolan because he's not going to be with us for very long. He's got to take off. Trevor, so video game wise, what was some of your favorites and what did you play growing up?
Okay, the first video game I ever saw being played was Mike Tyson's Punch. Actually,
yeah, buddy.
Punch-Out before it was just Punch-Out. I don't think Mike Tyson was affiliated with it yet. And I saw the neighbors playing it. Yeah, Mr. Dream. And I went home and I told my parents, it was around Christmas, and I said, you know what I want for Christmas? Buttons. Because it was the first time I've ever seen anybody hold something in their hand and push buttons. That was the only thing that I knew it was. So that year,
I got buttons,
the NES,
Mom!
With the power pad with Ghosts and Goblins. That was my first game.
Ghosts and Goblins is a good game.
Good, really good game. I never beat it.
Neither did anyone else. No, idea. You got past the third level and you were just like, I quit.
So, favorite game of all time, PlayStation 1, Tony Hawk 1, hands down.
You played that on 64.
The gravity cheat.
Yeah, PS1, dude. I can still, to this day, I can quit and restart the game in like half a second because you'd fuck up and you'd doop. Underrated game. There was no manuals. It was just grinds. Just grinds.
Wall rides,
yeah. Nollies. You could nollie a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
It was fun being in the school level.
The soundtrack for Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 was good.
Yeah, the manuals came in Tony Hawk 2. You'd go with the school, and you'd have that downhill section just leaving the cafeteria, and you can manual all the way down there, get like 17 billion points. You would totally blow all the goals out of the water with just one manual.
Hey, I feel better now. I actually played that game.
See?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
I'm now, so proud of you.
An overlooked game that I have to bring up that no one's brought up yet is Rygar. Anybody ever play Rygar?
NES?
NES, dude, NES. First game to incorporate the strategic levels where you had to go to one level and get something to bring to another level. It was...
I've never played that before. No.
Oh, boy. Right.
Hey. You know, I'm 23, but I still know what World War II was, okay?
And you know about that fake Holocaust thing that everybody talks about all the time?
Thinking about rings in the Holocaust?
Uh-oh, we're in trouble now.
Okay, all right. Cameron?
All right, let's not do the Holocaust thing right now, all right? It's kind of a sore spot in my
this
family.
This game was Sanskrit 5.
Where you offend the Jewish guy.
Might as well slap my ass and call me a kike.
Hey, I'm Canadian. Hey, man, I'm Canadian.
Okay,
I'm doing better.
Anybody listening right now, send all hate mail to...
Trevor Nolan, Newport Beach, Florida. Born and raised. That's right, bitch.
Wow.
Born and raised here, and he's never sold one pill.
No, I haven't. I've never sold a pill.
I mean, look at him. He's too fat to have done him.
That was hilarious.
Oh, boy.
So what's your story? You got buttons.
My story. Well, yeah, I got buttons and the power pad. And recently my friend found a picture of an 8-year-old Trevor standing on his power pad in nothing but spandex shorts.
Catholic Church.
No. No way.
Doing track star.
Track and field.
Track and field, yeah.
And a rat tail. That's all. I was just rocking.
Hey, rat tail. I rocked a rat tail.
Dude, we all rocked a rat tail. Come on.
A rat tail to here.
Yeah, mine was pretty sick.
I even put beads in it in fifth grade. Lame.
So.
Only in sixth now, right?
Yes. Oh, God. So my video game experience kind of ended after PS1. I didn't really go too far into PS2. Or the games now, you put a controller in my hand, I feel like a fucking retard.
PS2 had a lot of great games.
Call of Duty with me and Jeff and Chris?
First-person shooter. My IQ goes down 100 points when I play a first-person shooter. Even Doom back in the day, walking into walls, that's all I do. All I do. I can't.
IQ goes down 100 points whenever you play a first person shooter?
Yes.
When could you go negative? You become autistic, you're like 496 toothpicks.
Well, no, that would be high. No, I'm telling you, my IQ is probably 2 when I'm playing a first person shooter or a football game. I can't play football games either.
Temco Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, I'm talking
Tecmo.
Temco. Hey, Temco. I guess that was something out of...
Dyslexia. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Philippines.
But
that was
you
the
could
Filipino knockoff of Tecmo Bowl.
No,
Temco.
The only cheat that football game had was...
Joe
Batson
was the best player in that game.
Yeah, it's true,
too. Diagonal. You went up and down, up and down.
And they had the Houston
Genesis.
Oilers.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Bono's football.
Bo knows football.
But he don't know hip replacements. Hip replacement. Dallas isn't in the sports world. So Bo Jackson ended his career with a hip replacement.
I love how you're gazing into his eyes and explaining
look,
this to him.
He's fucking beautiful. Look at him. How can you not?
I'm fucking batting my eyes right now.
He is. He's like Bambi. Very docile looking.
Oh my God. All right, here. Hold this little brat, Dallas. All
right, we're on Al now?
No, we're not on me yet.
Oh, I guess Dallas wants me to tell my story.
Oh, yeah. Tell the story. Yeah. What is this eat shit story?
I'm going to derail the video game talk. The whole reason I'm here is I'm an aspiring comedian. I listened to too many podcasts and thought, hey, I could do this if these assholes can. So I'm going to end up doing my own podcast. I want to see how this whole thing goes down. So I've done open mics about 9 times. Last Monday was my 9th time. First 8 times went halfway decent. A couple of them really fucking good. So I got a little cocky. Didn't really prepare for Wednesday. Stopped at a buddy's house on the way and tied half my brain behind my back. And I get to the comedy club with no material, nothing written, a couple ideas. And at this open mic, the MC and the first 5 comics, pro level, really good. You wouldn't even think you were at an open mic. Everybody was doing so good.
And then your ass gets on stage.
And then they call my fucking name. I went on stage and ate dick. For 5, it was the longest 5 minutes.
I would have laughed at that.
I thought you legitimately ate shit. And that's why I was kind of interested in the story.
I know we've all been fascinated by the idea of him actually being pooped on.
It's that shit he ate.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a poor man's T.J. Miller over here.
Two girls, one Nolan.
No, see, I think I'm funnier than T.J. Miller. That's the syndrome that creates comedians is. You watch stand-up or you hear it on the radio and you see someone and you don't think it's that funny. I think I'm funnier than T.J. Miller.
So how badly did you bomb? Like, what was the audience reaction?
Well, see, what happened? It was silence.
Oh, awkward. That's worse.
They just watched 5 killers.
I prefer booze. At least
did they heckle you or anything?
No heckles. No. I wish someone would have heckled me because I would have told them
to suck my dick. Didn't even bother to heckle you? That's sad.
Funny. Yeah, nothing. It was just silence and stares. It was bad. But like I said, the 5 guys before me. Fucking crushed it. They were all really good, and I think I was set up for failure.
You should have worn clothes. You show up to a comedy.
Yeah, I tried to work out a hamburger helper story, and I think the setup was too long. And I kept calling myself white trash, and I said the word white trash like 10 times, and I think that turned people off.
My white trash ass was walking through Publix the other day.
The Tampa
Improv.
Tampa.
And grab some hamburger helper. So my white trash ass takes it up to the checkout counter.
Is this sounding familiar?
Does it sound like how it did?
No, not really. It was the fact that...
Okay, hey, it bombed. You want to bury that joke, okay? Don't start reliving it right now on the show.
Yeah. How about you have sex with a cook and you say you just slam-burgered her helper?
Oh, my God.
That was terrible.
Really?
I'll admit that.
That
was worse than him.
I mean...
Funny from a guy who can't eat pork, you know?
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Wow.
My matzo balls are itching.
So I'm sure that wasn't the last time that I had to eat a shit sandwich and... But I this was Wednesday. Yesterday, I felt like killing myself all day. I felt like I was fucking 3 feet tall the entire day. I felt like someone raped me.
Did you watch Twilight?
I've been forced to watch that movie. Fuck, is it horrible. Oh, my God.
That girl's mouth doesn't close the entire movie.
Oh, God. She's slack-jawed mouth breather. Like
yeah, man.
Manning.
So do the other comedians, like, goes, hey, good job, man, or anything like that?
Well, one guy did. I mean, because... There were a couple gems mixed in. It was just there was two. Once you wade out into deep waters and you lose them, it doesn't matter what you do after that. And it's only 5 minutes, so I mean, it was.
Oh, that's.
They're all cool. They're all support. It's the same. Like I've seen these guys.
Yeah, once you're drowning, you're drowning.
Yeah.
I kind of drowned, you know.
Well, when you've been doing it for 10 years, and you know the mechanics, and you have 15 go-to killers in your back pocket, you can get out of that like easy, but. When it's your 9th time on stage, it's not going to happen.
You got to remember, that's going to happen. You're going to get crickets. You're going to end up sucking.
That's like being a fat stripper coming out with, like, you know, dollar bills rolled up into your, you know, six tits.
But there's a couple people that are into fat
strippers. Hey, yeah, that's not that bad. What are you talking about?
You know, Foxy says a Down syndrome stripper.
No.
Now performing Buckethead. She comes out, she's like, paper plastic. She bags all her clothes.
No, I think the best part of the Down syndrome stripper is you calling. Yes, hello,
oh, yeah,
this
call.
Is...
Hey, yeah, Dallas, I don't think we're going to use this show. Okay?
Yeah, we had a Holocaust denial
this is a true
autism,
story. This is a true story. We were in Rook's backyard drinking one night. We had a little bonfire and a get-together, and our buddy Mike comes up with his girl Jen, and she was like, I hear there's a Down syndrome stripper at Foxy's. And everyone's like, no way. I was like, I'll call him and ask him. I was like, hey, my name's Greg Fountain. I'm calling for a batch party coming through there, but, you know, we're particular. We need to know if you have a Down syndrome stripper. He's like, oh, yeah, she'll be on tonight. She has two shows. I'm sitting there going, well, thank you, Claire.
That's got to be illegal. That has to be illegal. They should be thrown in jail for that. Because
it turns out she doesn't have Down syndrome, so I forget what she actually
she's
has.
Japanese.
She's got fetal alcohol syndrome.
Fetal alcohol syndrome.
See, Dylan, it's
not
going to be
dropping
that bad
names
for you,
or anything, but I know a couple of girls probably mothers to that woman.
It's called The Dangers of Doing Roxy's. Oh.
It's called The Most Bitches in Newport, Richie.
Newport Roxy.
So I'm sorry to hear you bombed. That stinks.
Yeah, it's all right. I'd rather get gasps than laughs sometimes.
No, that's cool, though, because you go through it and you deal with it, and that's it. Next time you do the same shit, and then, you know, it doesn't faze you or whatever.
So you what, I bet you the morning was a hell of a lot better than your night.
No, the morning sucked because I didn't get home until 12:30, and I got up at like 6:30 to go to work, and I was...
I mean, if they're not laughing, just insult them or whatever. It's like, what, are you stupid or something? Don't you get this freaking joke?
Just pull a Kramer. Just scream the N-word.
Yeah.
I'm one of the few people that thought that was funny. Maybe it's because
I thought it was hilarious.
It was fucking hilarious.
It was so politically incorrect, but correct. Yes. It was like incorrect / correct.
Yeah. It was great.
If you can't laugh at the N-word, what can you laugh at?
And I hate to say it. The N-word to me is more offensive than the actual word because it's a way for white people to get away with saying nigger.
Oh, my God!
as
long as you don't say spick or anything like that, I'm cool.
The word wigger. Because anybody will say wigger. Like a fifth grade teacher, maybe even in her class, will say, oh, yeah, that wigger kid. And everyone knows what wigger means, but...
Hey, Dallas.
It's a white person,
Dallas,
with bad credit.
Can you please stop playing with the baby and get control of the goddamn show?
Well, now that we're done with the story and all the racist things, we're on Al for your favorite systems and games that, you know, you first played.
Okay, so you're asking the spick. What games did you play?
Atari.
Now Atari.
Yeah, Al really is one, too. Now Atari isn't actually ping pong.
Oh, my God. I did play Pong, actually, back in the early 80s, but it was just too advanced for me, so I quit.
So is that the extent of your video game playing?
No. I played PS2 and all that stuff. Well, I started at the arcades in the malls. I don't know if anybody remembers that. They used to have the...
Galaga, buddy.
Galaga.
Oh, man.
And all
Let
that
me ask
stuff.
A question, though. Turtles. Cameron, Craig, you guys are a little younger than us. Did you...
A little.
You're like 10 years younger, okay?
No, yeah, that's not... You're 23. He's not 10 years younger than us. He's like 8.
Okay, 8. Yeah, all right.
But
so my math sucks.
No, okay. Were there arcades when you guys were younger?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, Celebration Station. You got a piece of pizza, some go-karts, and batting cages along with it.
And you sat there with your buddy, and you got hyperactive on Coke and full on pizza. And you
yeah, but we're talking
balls.
Like arcades, like standalone arcades in the mall. You know,
downtown Newport Richie used to have a great one in that strip mall.
Yeah.
They had a great one, and then it closed down. But you walked in there, and there was like just 20... And then 10, and then 20 on the other wall. And you walked in, it was just classic games, like Centipede.
See, that's what
Joust.
I miss, is the old arcades. Like, I used to go, I remember when Killer Instinct first came out. When Mortal Kombat first came out
Street
on
Fighter
the arcades.
2.
Oh, Street Fighter.
Get out of here.
Virtual Tekken. Parts. Tekken in the arcade was possibly the greatest game ever. I liked it better, and you all kiss my ass. I like Tekken in the arcade better than Mortal Kombat.
Marvel.
Wait,
Capcom.
Yeah, but what about Street Fighter?
Tekken in the arcade Capcom was blew me great. Out of the water when I first played it.
Yeah, that was good.
I was just like, well, wait. What are the combos? I don't know anything right now.
Combo
Breaker! You like Mortal Kombat better than Street Fighter?
No. I said I like Tekken better than Mortal Kombat.
I like Street Fighter more
I know
than
most
Kombat,
people
I like Mortal Kombat story way better than
I
Street
know
Fighter.
Most people sit there and talk, you know, Mortal Kombat changed the arcade fighting game, you know, blah, 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 blah. No. Tekken changed the game. Tekken was amazing.
Actually,
it is amazing.
Did. But you know, we're
no,
only
Street
going
Fighter, Street points. Fighter invented it. Street Fighter invented the arcade fighting game.
Very good point.
Tekken perfected it.
Yeah, Blanka was the first, like, Pikachu on steroids. You could just sit in the corner and just be like, you ain't touching me, you ain't touching me.
Yeah, and I remember the pisser was when the games stopped being a quarter and there were 50 cents, and I'm like, what the hell is this crap?
Yeah, 25 cents a gallon? I gotta pay 50 cents to play for 10 minutes?
Oh! The best fighting game for arcades ever, Primal Rage.
Yeah. That was a great, I love that game.
Primal Rage.
Weak sauce.
Diablo,
still,
buddy.
They still have Primal Rage at Astro Skate and Tarpon.
That Hydra was a cool
yeah.
character, too.
Wow.
My sister was always the ape, and she always pounded my ass to the ground. I go, I was never a mammal. I was always a lizard.
Oh, absolutely. The Red Raptor.
Well, I don't know.
Red
my
Raptor.
Favorite arcade standalone game would have to be the original Rampage. I
that was
that
fantastic.
Game. Just punching the buildings down.
NBA Jam.
I have Rampage
yeah,
for PS2, I think.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, NBA Jam
he's
was the shit.
My...
Yeah. There you go.
He's on my... Oh,
Hakeem
God.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
And you got
Sean Kemp, baby.
I can't tell you how often you heard, he's on fire coming out,
yeah, yeah,
out of the
yeah,
arcade
yeah,
as you walk past it.
Remember that, yeah.
Does anyone know why Michael Jordan was not in NBA Jam?
Because he had a trademark on his own name.
No. Because he signed a deal with whatever company put out Jordan vs. Bird back in the 80s.
Oh, God.
Another shitty game that
what?
Really didn't live up
talk
to
about
that
race
game
war.
Sucked.
I used to love Jordan vs. Bird.
You want
to
talk about a shitty sports game? Ken Griffey Jr.'s All-Star Baseball
for
Super
Nintendo?
Yeah. It had that Seattle Mariners blue cartridge.
Yeah.
And you always did the home run derby, and no matter who it was, you would fight your best friend to be Ken Griffey Jr., because you could swing 2 seconds early on a ball, and it would go 7,000 feet. As long as you were Ken Griffey Jr., Frank Thomas didn't mean shit.
So, Al,
yes.
Anything else? What about current games? You said you played a few newer things. You played some WrestleMania.
I played WrestleMania. I played
okay.
Tony Hawk. There was a Star Wars game that I played one time. But really, it was just because I had a friend who had a kid, and I was just playing with him and stuff like that. You know, just to pass the time.
What
but
system?
Oh, it was a PS2. That was the last one I played.
So
I
haven't
played
on the
next-gen
Wii or, systems.
Was it
Wii
Force Unleashed?
Like?
That's a great...
Probably, if it's a
that
Star
is
Wars
the,
game.
That is a great story for a game, but my goodness, is it too easy for that system.
There was a zombie one, too. Was it Doom or something like that?
Doom?
Was it the one called Doom? It was like a zombie you...
Doom was
you
a first-person
like,
shooter. It wasn't zombies. It was actually...
What was the one with Hitler?
What?
That's it.
Resident Evil.
Oh,
yeah, that's a good game.
That's it, yeah.
Was it... Oh, Wolfenstein had Hitler in it.
Wolf... Yes,
you're talking
Wolfenstein.
Arcade first-person shooters, Area 51.
Which matter of fact...
I play Wolfenstein once a month just to say, yeah, you bastard, we
the
won.
The Bear Jew!
Here's the revenge! Teddy
no,
Baseball!
Actually
when
I'm getting ready to get into a bar fight, that's what they all scream is Bear Jew, so...
Alright. All right, on to Craig.
My systems that I prefer are
Skin Float.
You would know. Would be NES. My first game I had ever played, I watched my brother play it for like 2 years till he, you know, let me play it. And it was Dungeons and Dragons, where you had like all these, you had 12 characters, and you would go and try to get through these stupid hard levels.
Was it the Pool of Radiance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're all right. You know what I'm talking about. And that game is...
Shut up, Trevor.
...redonkulous hard. And then I switched from that to my favorite game of all time, which would have to be X-Men on Sega.
Oh, I remember X-Men. That.
That game was amazing to me.
Now, that was a side-scroller. That was a platform game.
Yeah,
game,
and you had your hero allies. You'd pick up you pick up their specials, and you'd have like Storm come swoop in and help you during fighting Sabretooth.
It was like playing Turtles in Time.
Yeah, it was a lot like
Turtles
in Time.
A lot like that. I adored that game. It was actually the first game I ever played with my dad too, because they had like that really neat co-op mode where like if you're not drunk, if you're not keeping up with me, you're just gonna fall and die, and I'll finish the level.
Yeah. Well, that's always the best. It's like, you know what, you're slow, up, oh, you're dead.
Now a game I'm really getting into, which I haven't like, I'm not really in.
Wait,
every
ladies and gentlemen, hold on.
Bye bye, guys. Bye bye. Sorry if I offended anyone.
Really? Really? Are you sorry?
I'm not sorry.
This is part, that's better. That's a better way for Trevor to leave.
You can't hear him because he doesn't have a mic, but he just said peace nigs. But I would have to PS2 has a game, The Champions of Norrath, and then there's Champions of Norrath 2. That game is addictive.
Call to Arms?
Yeah, Call to Arms, the second one, is the best.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I also like those Boulder, the Dungeons and Dragons.
Baldur's Gate.
Are amazing. Just that item collecting that you can have up to, on PC you can have up to 1 to 4 players, but.
Yeah, there was 2 Baldur's Gates or 3?
There's 3 now, but.
Yeah, but
there was 2 on the PS2.
There was 2 on the PS2, and then.
Dark Alliance was the epitome of an awesome story. That whole storyline was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I was always the dwarf, because I liked this tornado attack. You could sit there with your hammer or 2 axes double-handed, and you could just spin around.
What I found interesting about the Norrath games was how hard it was to find the second one.
Oh, I have it.
Yeah, no, I do too.
I found it 2 years ago at a GameStop for $60. That, and I also bought...
How much?
$60.
You sucker.
It was so hard to find.
I got it at GameStop for like $20. When I picked it up,
it
they had
new.
5 copies.
Did you get it used?
Yeah,
I got
of course.
A new. It was still wrapped. Also, the Project Genesis, which I think is the most creative game for, that Sims. PS2 had the Jurassic Park Project Genesis, which you cannot find anywhere. And I got it for a birthday. And, I was, going to give it to a friend, and then I realized everyone's like, no, don't give it to him. I'm like, why? Because you'll never see it again, and you'll never find it again. I look online, to get a new one's like $110.
Yeah, it's amazing how much these old games go up in value. I mean, I saw the original Zelda gold cartridge still in the box, instructions and everything.
$300.
Try $700.
Jesus, really?
$700.
It's real gold, you know.
They only made 5,000 of those cartridges.
Yeah, they only made 5,000 of those cartridges, but for some reason, everyone I know has one.
I have one.
Yeah.
The gold cartridge copy
I have.
It's not
all gold anymore. It's kind of like peeling. But.
Yeah, well. The gold cartridge copy that I have, I got from a customer as a tip. They had 3
cool.
of them. So they were like, here, we have 3. Have one.
Now, do you guys like PC games at all? Because I'm really into PC, old school PC games. Like Caesar 3 and...
Now, the best PC game that I ever played probably was Redneck Rampage.
Mine would be Diablo 2.
Okay, yeah, all right.
That game is sick.
Yeah, the Diablo games are freaking awesome. My favorite game of all time, never mind PlayStation, Xbox, any of that crap, is StarCraft.
Oh,
StarCraft. Warcraft is cool and everything. World of Warcraft, you can kiss my ass. But StarCraft is amazing. I love that game.
When you're too bored to tuck your pee-pee, you play Warcraft. You're like, ah, I'm not in the mood to masturbate. You know what? I'm going to fight a goat for 3 hours.
Dez, one of our listeners loves Warcraft. Okay, we managed to piss him off, too.
Awesome. We have absolutely no listeners at this point.
He's the only one. He sits in front of me.
I'm sorry to offend you, but I just don't like it. Personal taste.
We're offending everybody.
I'm not knocking you, sir, for liking it.
That's okay. Offend everybody. It doesn't matter.
Knocking everybody else for loving it obsessively.
Yeah, it's like when that EverQuest fad went through, and then because it was so popular, it lost popularity.
RuneScape.
Never played it.
RuneScape.
You know what? Actually, my kid has been after my ass to let him play is that Minecraft crap.
No. No.
I don't know what the hell that is, but
PC games.
It just looks annoying to me.
We went around and did our spiel, and now we're doing PC games.
Okay, that's fine with me. I don't play PC games.
So. We talked about my game I was getting interested in was Champions Norrath, Return to Arms.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is just in case anybody's sick. Wondering, Dallas walked Trevor out and gave him a kiss on the lips, and now he's
and a kiss
back.
On the dick.
Just a shot. I stroked the shot.
This podcast does support Amendment 2, just so everyone knows.
Hey.
What, the right to bear arms?
All right. Right. Let's take a quick break. Music break number 2, and then we're going to come back just for a few minutes and kind of trail off and end the show. Yeah, probably
apologize to all those.
We're gonna do a bullet point list of apologies. Like, well, we're sorry for 12 minutes in when we offended this person.
Is there a way to like double put like the explicit thing on the podcast?
It's not that bad.
Okay. Apologize.
So here we are, music break number 2. This time, the Rook has taken over. And he's not. You're not ready again.
Oh yeah, I'm ready this time. I
he's got
ready
Madonna
this time.
Good.
Go.
When you call my
the Rook,
name,
this is your turn. This is one of this is your selection. I'm not going to say your favorite band or favorite song because it doesn't have to be. It's your selection.
This is a particular selection of mine. This is a band called Psychotica. People may remember them from years and years ago when they played the Lollapalooza tour. This is a little song of theirs called Little Prince.
Fire.
back. Thank you so much, Rook, for that musical break. And so we have an interesting topic to talk about this time. Craig, you had a fantastic idea.
Yeah, my question was, which is interesting. You know, there are games we've all played, and there's games that we've played that nobody else liked, but we did. And I just want to know your guys' input on games that you enjoyed that nobody else really liked. Like, even if you ask somebody to play with you, they're like, I hate that game. So mine, there's a couple for me, and there's some that, I don't know, they're kind of personal. Like, I had nobody when I was younger wanted to play Phantasy Star with me, which I think is one of the greatest games ever.
That's because everyone was playing Phantasy Star 2.
Yeah, I my favorite would be Phantasy Star 8. Would be the best one. Sega had Phantasy Star 8, where you had grills and, like, the, you know, you had, you know, some deaths in the game. It was, like, really different for me. You know, you're playing a game where, you know, you die and you come back, but then you have a character who dies you can't play anymore because in the storyline they die, which is really interesting when you're, you know, 11.
I actually think that might have preceded Final Fantasy IV, which was a very story-based game, which for Super Nintendo, and that was main characters were dying left and right. And
my
that
favorite
one,
Final Fantasy game for Super Nintendo would have to be Mystic Quest. Which I love so much, God. But you know, games like that. And I want to start with Rook. I'm just interested.
Probably a game that I can pinpoint offhand is there was a game on it was Super Nintendo called Weapon Lord.
Now you know it can also be a game that you played that you didn't tell anyone else you played. Like even if it's Hello Kitty Adventure, you know.
Rook, did you play Hello Kitty Adventure? Because
I don't even know if there was a Hello Kitty Adventure game, but if there was, I probably wouldn't play it. Just offhand. But no, there was this game, Weapon Lord, and I thought it was a fantastic fighting game. It had a little bit of a storyline behind it. Mm-hmm. It was extremely difficult to play because none of the button combos worked on a consistent basis.
It sucks.
Neo Geo.
The girl I was dating at the time absolutely fucking hated playing that game with me because I would just... I'd annihilate her.
Even when they weren't working, you'd kick her ass.
Oh, yeah. Even when the buttons wouldn't work, I'd still pound the hell out of anybody that I played. So that game
So when you
great.
Played her, you pounded the hell out of her? Is that what you're saying?
And next topic.
You know what game really beat me in every time was Soul Calibur.
Oh, Soul Calibur. That was a great game. But you know what? I actually picked up a game recently that apparently no one likes because I bought it for $5 at GameStop. Clive Barker's Jericho. First-person shooter. I can definitely see some problems with the game's basic mechanics. There's some things in the game that are far too difficult for the settings that you have it on. If you have it on normal, it's like an expert setting to deal with certain parts. But overall, the storyline's fantastic.
Similar game. Super Nintendo did Battle Tank. And it was a first-person shooter, but you're driving around in this tank on terrain, different terrains.
Yes, I remember that game.
A lot of people didn't like the game. I loved it because the mission bases were amazing.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
Yeah, that was a pretty good game.
I liked it. I never finished it, but it was still fun to play. What about you, Cam?
I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to go with something that's a little bit newer.
Boo.
The nostalgia factor going all the way back to the 90s. Duke Nukem Forever.
Nice.
Duke Nukem, that's
Duke
a great
Nukem
game.
Forever.
Time to kill.
See, I haven't played it, but I've heard horrible things.
As a pure fan of Duke Nukem and the arrogance and the quick one-liners, the pissing in the toilet to get back some health, all of that. I mean, it's Duke. Yes, it took 16 years for it to come out. Yes, the controls were like that out of 1997. Which they addressed in a DLC patch where you added four different kinds of control schemes. One was called Duty Calls.
Duty.
Duty Calls.
There was one called Skirmish Land or Skirmish Zone or something. It was basically based off of Call of Duty, Battlefield, Left 4 Dead. Those different control schemes. That way so you can get away from it.
I'm coming in clear.
Go again? No, just keep talking.
Yeah, keep talking, man.
Yeah, I mean, basically, they just took it off the four best first-person shooters of this generation.
Is it working?
Check, 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 check.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
How about now? Anything showing up now?
Yep.
Okay, you gotta hold this one real tight.
Sorry. We'll fix it in post.
Does it look like I'm talking into a robot penis?
Duke Nukem.
Yeah, Duke Nukem Forever. I mean, yes, it is new. Yes, we all heard about it. It took 16 years for it to come out.
Most expensive video game ever made.
Yes, and Gearbox bought it for $1.50 from whoever had it beforehand. Like, they took it in a liquidation or something. But it had 90s feel to the controls, which they then addressed with some downloadable content, which added four control schemes that were similar to some first-person shooters we have today. Duty Calls.
Nice.
Warzone, which is Battlefield.
I keep saying Duty. I keep remembering Conker's Bad Fur Day when he has to throw toilet paper in the mouth of that giant dookie pile.
New Leisure Suit Larry coming out here pretty soon.
Holy crap, really?
Yeah.
It's going to be rated PG, though.
But going back to the whole Duke Nukem thing, it was just the fact that I remember running to Blockbuster Video, which was three blocks from my house, to pick up Duke Nukem 64 back one summer.
Duke Nukem 64 was a great game.
And then to see that game never come out. And then somebody finally did it. And Gearbox said, look, we know it's a piece of shit, but the next one we're going to do better. We just wanted to see what they just wanted to gauge interest in it again. And the game sold over 1 million copies. So after Borderlands 2, they're going to do another Duke Nukem.
You know, here's the question. Did Gearbox finally just say, you know what, people have talked shit about this game for so long, have said that it is the, you know, it's a cursed game. Did they finally just say, fuck it, release it, get it off of the working on pile, and just get it out there to the public so we can be done with this shit?
Yeah, they bought, if I'm not mistaken, a 65% build of the game. I'm not mistaken, what they acquired was 65% complete, which is why they didn't go through and overhaul the control scheme to make it more like Borderlands.
That's true.
And do you find that, like, annoying?
No, actually, I don't. Because
there's a lot of people who do.
I think as a game fan, I would have much rather seen that game come out, even if it was just a 20-minute cutscene in a box.
I'd like to see them update older games. Like, if I could see Super Mario 3... like, updated, look a lot cool. Same levels, same everything, but, like,
well,
looks a
how
lot
do you think
cooler.
We felt when Mario All-Stars came
that's
out?
That's the same thing
that
they did with Bionic
that's
Commando.
What I played today.
They did Bionic Commando Rearmed, you know.
Turtles
and
in Time HD.
Turtles in Time
which
HD,
which was fucking
yep.
brilliant.
I love it.
PS3, yeah.
Hardest game,
man.
Turtles NES. Right. Nobody could get past that water level.
You know, once I got past the water level, and I got to the world past it.
Yeah. After the water level,
you
it
jump
was
off
game
that bridge.
Bitch.
That's what's going to decide whether or not you're going to beat the game or not.
Those fucking barnacles.
those electrified seaweeds are like evil.
Sorry, Cameron.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. You know. Yeah, Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem.
We all wanted it. We got it. We have to live with what we got. We can't really insult them too much for it. Because that. They did what they needed to do, and they gauged interest. And now Gearbox is going to do a full build from scratch.
I think that's probably what they need to do, is they need to say, okay, guys, here it is. Here's what you've all been waiting for. And now let me show you what we can really do with this idea.
I want to see Gearbox do Duke Nukem in the vein of Borderlands cell shading.
Yeah.
2D cell shading.
Yeah.
Have
That'd
the
be
aliens
cool.
come back and send him into like a comic book type world. Can you
like
imagine
beautiful
all the
Joe.
Jokes that he would make? Yeah, can you imagine all the jokes
I'm not
that they could make
into
Duke
my
about?
Idea of a video game. It's insane, but that's another discussion.
So, Dallas, what about you?
All right, well, I think we skipped over Craig, right?
Yeah, mine would have to be there's two. There'd be mentioned it before, Super Nintendo had Pilot Wings. Which I love the parachuting, landing the planes aspect, just the jetpack, and you're like your points based on how well your skill is with a controller.
That game's infamous for getting bad.
That's your hand and eye coordination. That's all that game is. And my second would have to be, sadly, would be Medieval for PlayStation. A lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah, with the British talking skeleton.
A lot of people didn't like it.
Apparently we did.
Loved it. I die loving. And you know what's funny? I looked online the other day. It gave it a 2 out of 5 star rating. I'm sitting there going, what?
Wow.
The storyline for that game was phenomenal. That, it had a Resident Evil fear aspect to it, to like, you know, you're surrounded by these undead dudes and you have that mini panic attack in your head. And you're like, I don't like this. When you get like afraid, like when you're playing the arcade shooter game and you're sitting there going, and you panic. And you're just, like, if you had a real gun in your hand, you're frantically going to shoot out of fear.
Yeah, good point. Well, that was the charm of arcade games as well.
It really was.
Okay, well, I have two. The first one, it's not so much a game everyone else hated, but maybe not a lot of people knew about. Rook maybe did because we played it together, but it was, for the Super Nintendo, it was The Legend of the Mystical Ninja, which is the Americanized version of Goemon, which is a huge Japanese franchise. And it was basically, it was fantastic because it was a two-player game. And it was for the most part, it was a platformer game, but the great part was it was a Konami game, so there were mini games inside of it where you could play like Gradius and a lot of the old Konami games. You could play air hockey. You could play a shitload of games.
That little ball guy. I loved the little ball character, man. That game was great.
We're talking about Street Fighter, the guy with long arms?
All right.
The first, like, megapixel Gandhi.
Basically, here's what you have to imagine. Imagine Double Dragon. In medieval Japanese setting, and the two guys
with comedy,
yeah.
And the two guys you're playing, one of them looks like Goku, and the other one looks like what the hell's the bald guy from Dragon Ball's name?
Krillin.
Basically look like Goku and Krillin, just in that short, fat, squat Japanese.
I love that aspect of it, though, because Dragon Ball Z had, like, you know, there was Goku and Krillin constantly. Goku was so excelled, and he had his little cancer
weapon,
kid, buddy.
One of the weapons was a yo-yo.
Yes,
and
yes.
You could upgrade your yo-yo.
Well, the yo-yo was a military weapon before it was a toy.
Now, that's actually interesting.
Absolutely true.
This game was literally a hidden gem, though, because it was hours and hours of fun. It was fantastic. The level designs were amazing, and they were varied. Every level was completely different from the last.
Did it have a harder aspect, or did it have more of, like, shit thrown at you kind of aspect?
It was mostly shit thrown at you.
Yeah, it was a lot
the later
shit
levels
thrown
were
at you.
Quite difficult, and the bosses were very strategic, but it was a very fun game. But anyway, the second one I would have to say was a game for the Dreamcast.
Dreamcast.
Called The Typing of the Dead.
Oh my god.
There you go.
That really sucks.
But I
liked playing it sometimes.
I loved it.
My sister liked playing it more than I did. I think that's why I didn't play it.
Here you are with a USB keyboard playing. Basically, it's the House of the Dead. If the listeners remember, it was an old arcade game with a light gun. And you literally shot at zombies and creatures attacking you. Well, The Typing of the Dead.
You're talking about the standalone arcade as well?
Yes.
That was a good one.
It was House of the Dead meets Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing.
Yeah, pretty much. every time an enemy or a zombie or whatnot would attack you on the screen, a word or a sentence or a phrase would pop up and you had to type it. And the faster you typed it, the quicker you would kill the enemy and the higher the points that you would acquire. And the best part about the game for me was the cutscenes, which were the original cutscenes from the House of the Dead. However, instead of the main characters holding weapons, they had like these cool little backpacks with like these flat little like metal pieces in front of them holding their typewriters, and they were running around with both hands typing.
Like that Revenge of the Nerds sequence at the end of the movie?
Yeah, exactly, the end sequence. But I just remember having that game, and no one would fucking play with me, and I loved that game, and I wanted to play
two players.
There's
a reason no one would play
with you. I could type 116 words per minute because of that damn game.
My mom was a secretary for a while for a business company. I would never play her in that game. She'd kill me. She would go to school.
But that's
it. Doesn't help that his mom is the scribe at the courthouse either.
And let's not mention that my mom also wants to take Cameron out on a date and have sex with him. That's a whole other story,
good
though.
Lord, it's mother.
Since he is my best friend, I am allowing it. If it happens.
I would really be a motherfucker.
You would bang down Craig's mom?
I would
really?
Absolutely.
Hey,
mom's a fox, and she's loaded.
You know what? If I actually hit that, you're telling me
your mom's
daddy.
A MILF?
My mom is definitely a MILF. She's proud of it.
I have a friend that is...
She's not a MILF. She's not a MILF. She's a Puma.
I have a friend
she hasn't graduated yet. She's hoping to carry her degree.
Only a couple years older than you, and he's dating a woman probably the age of your mom. It's pretty crazy.
Nah, it's not that crazy. Okay. Look, it doesn't matter how old it gets. Pussy's a pussy. No,
you're talking about your mom. Okay, so next topic. Craig, you had another fantastic idea. Well, remember, this is episode 29.
Another good question would be... the easiest game you ever played, what system? Easiest. Like, you just breezed through it, it came to you, and it's just that one game that you played, and it was too easy for you. And the hardest game in what system? Like, you couldn't get past the first level to save your goddamn life.
I can definitely say the easiest game that I ever played was the one I mentioned earlier. Power Blade for, I think it was original Nintendo.
It was original Nintendo, yes.
Like I said, Dallas and I growing up together, our weekends used to...
Just so everyone knows, they're holding hands while doing this.
Actually, he's holding my penis, so. But that's all right.
just the taint.
Dallas and I used to, you know, we would hang out on the weekends and stuff, and we would go to...
It's like a baby's arm holding an apple.
Wow. What was I saying?
You were saying something about your wiener?
Anyway, so we literally beat this game in probably under 2 hours. I mean, it was so ridiculously simple.
That's super game. I'm talking when I'm saying easy, I mean like under the 3 hour mark.
Yeah, this game was so freaking easy. All you were was you were this guy and you were throwing a boomerang. That's it. You were going through levels throwing a boomerang, and it was horribly simple, incredibly stupid. No plot or anything to it. It was just a crappy game all around.
But it was still fun.
No, not really.
It wasn't fun at all.
Any game that you can kill in under 2 hours is not fun.
I don't know. Sometimes, like, the quicker games,
I enjoy that. What about the hardest?
Oh, the hardest game?
Boner Battle Score?
Deja Vu.
Okay.
Do you remember Deja Vu
for
original Nintendo?
Original Nintendo.
Jesus
that
Christ. You
want to
talk about a game that
hard.
Made no fucking sense. I could never figure out what the hell I was doing in that game.
I think somebody who's used to doing, like, you know, chaos math decided to put a game together, but he has a lazy eye. Like, that game was just skew.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man.
Skew as hell.
I actually still have a copy of that game.
You really?
Oh, yeah.
I'd
you kidding
love to
me?
Play that.
Absolutely. And
die.
I could probably sit down and start playing it tonight, and by the end of this weekend, be absolutely nowhere.
So your easiest would be Blades, and your hardest would be Deja Vu.
Yeah.
That's a good choice. I like that.
Cameron.
Pitfall for the original NES. Easiest game I have ever played.
Easy?
Yeah, that game was easy. It just came naturally to me. I don't know what it was.
I couldn't time those ropes to save my life.
Are you kidding me? That is video gaming 101 right there. That's like the kindergarten of video games.
I don't know. Yeah, but that was the template. I wouldn't just say kindergarten. If it wasn't for Pitfall, we wouldn't have a lot of side-scrolling
games. Well, you know, the Donkey Kong game where, you know, Mario's going up the ladders and dodging barrels, that game is phenomenally hard. Like by the time you get to like level 8, you're just sitting there cross-eyed. You want to shoot yourself in the head.
Well, yeah, it's because they're throwing barrels at like one per half quarter of a millisecond, you know. You can't even jump them
fast. That game taught you to jump and get pissed off. That's all that game did. And hate monkeys. I hated monkeys for like 12 years, man.
So how about the hardest game?
Oh, he's thinking.
Silence.
He's thinking there.
Honestly, I
beat everything I see, so
no,
I don't know.
I have to think about it.
Think about it.
All right, well, let's come back to you.
All right, let's come back to you on that.
My easiest game would be PlayStation's Crash Bandicoot 2 Cortex Strikes Back. Super easy, including all the secrets and stuff. If you just go all – when I got all the crystals and finished the game, it probably took me like 4 hours, maybe a little under that. And I'd have to say, if you have to go back and get the gems and the extras, yeah, it's going to be a longer game. But just beating it, it was super easy and fun. It was still super easy, lame as hell, but fun. And the hardest would have to be Jurassic Park for Sega. That game
I don't think I ever played that.
That damn T-Rex.
Hard. T-Rex was a bitch.
You're not going to say the barnacle water section in Ninja Turtles?
we brought that up earlier. The Turtles for NES, man. That right when you jump off that bridge, it's a pain in the... It's a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the dick.
It's a pain in the dick.
All right, well, I'm going to point out that I would say the easiest game was a PlayStation 1 game called Roll Away.
Roll Away!
You basically played a beach ball, and you had to maneuver yourself through a maze, but you had to hit the right direction at a certain time, the right jumps at the certain time, and that's just something that just came very naturally to me.
What was the game with the guy who had to flip cubes? You remember that game?
Oh, yeah!
That game was, like, super easy but hard because you had to use your brain.
I can't remember
it
for,
really
like,
wasn't an action-packed
that'll
game.
That'll come back. We'll remember it in episode 35. Yeah. The hardest game? Just fucking level 6 on Ninja Gaiden. Son of a bitch.
That's a good choice.
God,
that's
that'll
choice.
Kick
your ass. And we're talking the original.
You know, level 5.
The original NES.
The original NES.
Level 6.
Ninja Gaiden.
Anything after the Bloody Mauth. Fighting fucking the Jackie-O.
Yeah, level
5
wasn't that easy either.
It took
Yeah, those flying dudes that dropped all like the shit.
Those little tiny
little shuriken or whatever they were. Oh, I hate those guys. But one of the most difficult games, and I wouldn't say from start to finish it wasn't that difficult because the first half of the game wasn't that hard. Once you got past like level 2 or 3, it just started kicking your ass.
It's like every regular NES game. There's a point where it becomes the hardest level, and then once you beat it, the game's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else would be like that? What's your hardest there, Cameron?
Limbo.
Limbo?
Limbo. It was a downloadable game for Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was black and white. It was completely devoid of sound. You were a boy who was searching through this world to try to find his sister. We're all under the belief that the two of them are dead. He's trying to reunite with her in the afterlife. You die every time you come across something. The way you learn how to beat the game is by dying.
What? That sounds insane.
Limbo, huh? That's awesome.
Yeah, the way you learn how to beat the game is by dying numerous times.
See, I like the stories for the new generation games.
It becomes mentally taxing to play this game because you're going, oh, crap, I'm taking 2 steps. What's going to kill me this time?
Wow, that seems absolutely
Limbo
insane.
Limbo was his game. Limbo, Dallas.
Have you ever even heard of
it? Real-life Limbo or
no,
the video game?
No,
explain
it
to him.
Xbox Live Arcade PSN game Limbo.
Yeah, re-explain this because Dallas stepped out of the room for a second there. I want you to hear the explanation of this game.
All right, listeners, you're going to have to hear this twice.
It's basically a brother and sister trying to reunite in the afterlife. And the way that you learn how to beat the game is by dying numerous times.
Kind of like Flatliners?
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah. Flatliners.
That Keanu Reeves or Kevin Bacon or who
was it?
Kiefer
Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Thank
you, that's it. It was one of those guys.
But yeah, like you come across this log, and it turns out this log's a spider that stabs you in the chest. It's a side scroller. It's completely black and white. It's devoid of sound.
It sounds all random like Star Tropics.
Star Tropics
but,
is a horrible,
but I will
awful
say one
disease.
Thing. When you get through Limbo, it's one of those games like Flower and Flow and Journey. It honestly changes you when you play it. You get
okay.
a new outlook on stuff. It affects.
It's
you.
Like watching a really good movie, and you walk out, and you're like, my life is different.
Wait,
it brings up that debate: is video games art?
What
are
system is this?
This is on Xbox Live Arcade. And PlayStation
okay.
Network,
okay.
it's like $15.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned
some
that.
Fantastic games on Xbox Live. They're really happy.
I'm glad you mentioned
Shadow
that too.
Complex.
That video games are art because I also have a thing we could probably
Rolled
do. In, we could probably yeah. do in another Super episode video. Is how beneficial health wise video games are.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
It's insane. You ever look up the research for that? It's
we
nuts.
Fit.
Your eyesight, your hand-eye coordination. People with Parkinson's play video games and they feel 10 times better when they don't take their medication.
Well, here's one for you guys. Just recently in the news here in our area, we had the guy that shot his 3 friends, supposedly reenacting a scene from Battlefield 3.
There was
you can't
three,
fix
the
crazy,
three
man.
Hispanics, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
The three Hispanics
guys.
No cheat
down
for that.
He killed
Largo
two.
Or whatever?
Yeah, it was like in okay. Largo. He killed 2 of them, wounded 1. This guy is stating that he was addicted to the video game. And so, of course, the news is coming out saying the video game made him do it.
Now, there's
it's
some
just been
there's,
happening since the 50s.
But there's still some truth to it, though.
Media.
Like he said, like a game has, you know, the experience to change you. You know, we go through life all the time, and you're like, you go through movies, and you cry in movies during these weird scenes that hit you close to home. But you don't know anything about these people, and you know it's fake, but it's still close to home. And a lot of video games do that. And psychologically, it can warp somebody and mess them up.
Absolutely, it can. But let's take a look at the individual we're talking about
I'm not
first.
On his side?
They're already
crazy.
They're already mentally devoid. There's something mentally wrong with these people, psychologically damaged. So the video game is not what caused them to do this.
It just gave them an idea.
There is a history behind what caused it. So, you know, it's the whole the music, you know, the whole, like, the Columbine concept. Oh, the music made them do it. Now it's, like, the video games. It's not the games. It's not the music. It is the person.
The only way I see you can blame the games, if somebody's playing Primal Rage, which we brought up earlier, if somebody brings up Primal Rage and somebody goes to school dressed up as a gorilla or as a lizard and shoots up the school, yeah, the game is at fault. But if they're just, you know, if a guy shoots up his school dressed as Duke Nukem, of course you're going to be like, yeah, it's the game's fault. Guy goes to school, decapitates his fucking teacher with a sword, and he's dressed as Zelda.
Well, that depends. Did the teacher look like Ganon?
Yeah, Newport Richie, man. Look at these teachers.
But yeah, just finding an outlet.
Rough.
Yeah.
I don't believe that it's really a product of the video games that cause this disturbia in people that would cause them to do it. I didn't play Doom and want to go shoot a bunch of people. I believe that it's everybody's trying to find a boogeyman for everything.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to believe in mental deficiencies. There are some parents, they are highfalutin people, Harvard-educated doctors who have a child who goes out and touches another child. What do they want to blame it on? Something other than just the fact, hey, my child wasn't right.
Yeah, it all comes back to...
Does your father touch you? What's the deal? You know, it's like that kind of
stuff. It all comes back to the simple idea of personal responsibility.
Well, all right, Rook, you're a father, right?
Yes.
Correct. Rook is a father of a wonderful, wonderful little dude who I love completely. Now, you have game restrictions. If he gets mouthy or if he gets a little crazy in
school. Oh, game restrictions. Guys, right now, that kid is sitting in a bedroom that has a bed and a dresser. Everything
else he owns. My dad did the same thing to me.
Is sitting in the garage right now.
Now, you have these parents who also don't give a shit. Kids do bad stuff. Well, go in your room. What do? They sit there and they dwell on those video games. They don't have any interaction socially with, you know,
it
their
is
parentals.
So easy. It is so easy to just simply put a television in his room, put a radio in there, put a video game system in there, and let him go to town.
What I'm saying
that
is
the easiest way to raise a child.
It's easy
and let
for
me
a
tell
child
you
to lose its mind.
You know what?
It has no interaction.
That's also an easy way to raise a psychopath. Okay.
Yeah.
To completely ignore the fact that you have a child sitting in that room that needs to be monitored, that needs to be watched over, that needs to
That's
make sure that he
there's
knows
no structure in his
right
life.
From wrong.
If he keeps getting rewarded.
You know, my wife and I, you know, our kid is almost 12.
Melissa Murphy, she's gorgeous.
There is no television in our son's room, and there will not be a television in his room until he can show that he earned the right to have that. And
I did a test 2 months – it was 4 months ago, and my dad will vouch for this because he thought I was going to go crazy. I took my TV, my laptop, my video games, and all my DVDs, so I wasn't tempted to watch any of it. And I took them all, and I put them all upstairs in our roommate Pat's room. And I said, can I put all this up here for a couple months? He's like, yeah. And I like tested myself to see if I can stray away from that. You know, the technological aspect of, you know, I'm bored. I have to play a video game or I have to be on Facebook or go online or I have to do something other than go outside or go for a run or call a friend up on the phone, you know. And I probably did that for maybe 4 weeks till I felt like I was going to lose it. When you're raised with those things to go to, when you're punished or when you're bored or something like you become dependent on the video game. You're like, look, I'm having a bad day. I have to play Modern Warfare 3 or I'm going to fucking lose it. You have people – my friend Chuck Boyer, which I'll name drop, who is amazing dude, was my boss for a while. He loses it at work. And he's like, I cannot wait to go home and shoot people. And he's like – and, you know, sometimes it's therapeutic and sometimes it makes you look nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It depends on the person playing the game. I really think it does. And that's the point that I was trying to get to with asking that question. You know, I mean, let's face it. If video games were real life, you know, we'd have a whole generation of people sitting in a dark room eating pills and listening to techno music. Oh, wait a minute. You know, I mean, we got Pac-Man, you know, but...
Oh, we're going off on a tangent. Okay, all right. We're about to talk about Pac-Man, but I think we're going to call it a night because that was a long fucking episode.
Yeah, we got a little off there.
I think we did,
but we hit some good points.
No, we had some absolutely very fantastic points. I think this is really good for our very first video game episode. Hopefully, many more as well. So I guess I'm gonna.
Most anticipated game.
Yes,
okay.
That's right. Cameron
right,
has
there you go,
a point. I brought up a topic earlier while we were off the air. Most anticipated game coming out right now. And I want to know, what game have you guys seen advertised or in the magazines? Something that you think is going to be phenomenal when it gets released. Cameron, let's go ahead and start with you, man.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Ty, I agree. That storyline is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah?
But for an underrated game, Lollipop Chainsaw.
Lollipop
is that
Chainsaw.
A game?
Oh
is that
my
a,
God.
Is that a thing?
Actually,
that's actually the stripper up at Brass.
You two laugh, and yes, that is a game, and that has been on the radar for a little while now, and that does
Lollipop
actually look
Chainsaw.
Like it should
What's
be
the premise of that?
Oh, she is a cheerleader in a zombie-infested world. She has her dead ex-boyfriend...
Like a Zack Snyder movie.
On her belt, and she uses him as a weapon, but she's fighting the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, that's neat. It's like Zombie at My Neighbor's, only she's not worth points.
Zemna.
Pretty much.
Nice.
But yeah, most anticipated game, Assassin's Creed 3. We get away from the Ezio Auditore storyline.
They're branching out a lot.
We're moving into the American Revolution. You're
yep.
a Native American assassin.
The weapons are phenomenal.
You're not got. You don't have the big.
But do you have the time to load a musket? You know.
Do you think that they may lose it a little bit though?
No, not at all.
There's no fear whatsoever
not
in
at
your
all.
Mind that they're going to lose the feel of the game by changing the timeline.
They've done too well to not.
No, because they changed the timeline when they went from Altair to Ezio.
That's yeah. true. They completely changed but, it, but the writing
I mean,
got
yes,
even
it
better.
Is, yes,
it
we
is
have
still
had four
the
games.
Same.
We have had four games since Altair. We had three games with Ezio, if I'm not mistaken.
People can say the same thing about Resident Evil. You know, as that game progressed, it got progressively worse compared to the originals.
Exactly.
But that's why they're switching it up, taking it to new territory. They're making it bigger. Yeah. After you assassinate, you can scalp.
Hey.
That's better than curb checking in Grand Theft.
American history.
Man. I mean, you have trees now that you can climb instead of buildings. Snowfall.
Yep.
Instead of just having one solid weather pattern, because we all know it isn't just sunny in Italy.
Yeah, no.
Sure, it's also sweaty and Snooki's crashing into police cars.
Then you're gonna have the interaction with historical figures, Ben Franklin, George Washington. You're going to be helping out that.
It's more of a history aspect. Since they're throwing history into it, it's
well,
also an educational video game.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know what? I've always seen Assassin's Creed as a bit of a historical concept behind it. You know, I mean, it draws people's interest to historical events and eras and things like that. So
it's basically, I think the person who created Assassin's Creed saw the Da Vinci Code and just wanted more action in it and decided to make it a video game.
Well, yeah, that's why they brought in the 2012 prophecy storyline with Assassin's Creed 2. And then to take it in Revelations and tie Altair right back into the whole thing.
Good point.
Even though it is Desmond in every single game, if you did bring back Altair and you had some secrets
and let's
that
not
Altair
mention,
left for Ezio.
Let's not mention the realistic... They're getting more realistic with the game that even the character is getting older looking.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which
absolutely.
Is like
Metal Gear Solid.
Exactly. I appreciate that. I want to grow with my character I've been for, you know, 4 or 5 years. You know, if Mario, you know, Mario 3, if he had fucking gray hair and like a bald spot, I would have played the game a lot more.
Nice.
Super Mario Sunshine 2, if he had a walker instead of that stupid flower backpack.
Which, by the way, best Mario game I've ever played would have to be Paper. That game was just awesome. Paper Mario was the shit.
Okay, Rook, most anticipated game.
My most anticipated game is actually The Last of Us. I am really looking forward to this game. If you haven't seen it, it hasn't hit your radar yet.
What do you like about it?
The Last of Us is a game that it's basically apocalyptic world. It takes a different view on kind of a zombie-esque.
It's Uncharted meets
feel.
Dead Island.
Dead Island was a great game.
Basically.
Yeah,
Uncharted
that's a
meets
great
Dead
way
Island.
To look at it.
I don't know. Dead Island was good, but the trailer was way better.
It's Naughty Dog, so you know it's going to be a quality third-person shooter.
Oh, absolutely. Naughty Dog. I mean, what has Naughty Dog put out that wasn't good?
Crash
really?
Bandicoot.
How can you say Crash Bandicoot wasn't good?
The
Crash
third
Bandicoot
one sucked.
Awesome.
Well, that financially, was, that was a fucking
the third
awesome.
One, the third one wasn't Naughty Dog, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought it was Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog's done something else that was absolute garbage, and then they ran away for a little while with their tail between their legs.
That's true. They didn't do Uncharted. Three. They only did one and two.
Correction. Yeah. Now, The Last of Us, I think it really looks interesting. It's really going to be a thought process game because they've already said ammo is not going to be a plenty. You're not going to find
your choices change gameplay.
My understanding, it does. Your choices will be altering the gameplay. My second choice, though, for most anticipated, of course, everybody is anticipating it, Halo 4.
No?
You guys?
No, because it's not Bungie. It's
Halo has
studios.
Run its course. By the time that movie comes out that Peter Jackson is doing, it's going to be awful.
I'm telling you, I am looking forward to seeing what somebody else can do with Halo.
I saw Halo Reach and I didn't like it.
Oh, Halo Reach sucked ass.
Yeah. Nobody liked
Halo
that.
Reach.
You did.
Bungie did phone it.
I played Halo Reach just to say that I played it and I know the storyline and
exactly.
I'm done with it.
Just so you can keep up with it.
Yeah.
It's like the same chicks who read people. They don't really want to read people, but when they're in the doctor's office talking with their bitches.
I really think Halo 4 is going to be something interesting. The multiplayer, not too keen on some of the ideas on the multiplayer. You can't play any of the Covenant. So.
Really?
Yeah, no, you're not playing any Covenant in multiplayer. You're playing Spartan Force.
You lose a lot of appeal with it.
I will say, though, when it comes to the Halo series, my tits are hurting because they're milking the shit out of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which they're going to do with Assassin's Creed, too. I mean, I love the game.
They're on their fifth game right now for Assassin's Creed.
But they're
going to
milk that nipple dry.
But they are changing up the story. They are advancing it. They are changing
that's one of the things that they're going to do with the Halo 4 is they are going to advance the story.
Yeah, they gave Cortana bigger tits. That's all I've seen so far.
Hey, man, got me to – I'll pay $49.99 for that.
That'll be $59.99. Actually, you know what? It'll probably be $69.99. Because they'll only sell it in a special edition that gets you two weapons for 10 days in front of everybody else.
You know how to sell it, though. You'll buy it. You'll wait in line at midnight for fucking 4 hours.
That's the thing is you can kiss my ass on that waiting in line for midnight or the pre-order bullshit. I'll wait until it's like $30.
But again,
I'll buy
I like the nostalgia
game.
Of waiting in line at midnight. I still like that shit. I'm very nostalgic when it comes to
new
games.
I am over
the
waiting in line at midnight shit.
There are certain games I will wait in line for. Last year, I waited for Uncharted 3.
Dallas has to pee, so we'll wait for that. But I do have a good question I would like to bring up. Now, has anyone ever played for PlayStation at these two games? They had Darkstone, which is a shitty fantasy game where you had to collect these crystals. But it was very – you collected your weapons, and you had, like, bows, and you're very fantasy, and you had to fight orcs and stuff like that. If you haven't played it, look it up. It's an amazing game. Graphics are shitty.
Two-player co-op by any chance?
No. One player. One player, you could zoom out and get a whole feel of the terrain, or you can go in for one person.
Yeah. See, that's what I need to find, because my wife and I like to play games together, of course. But she prefers RPG, two-player co-op, non-split screen.
Jessica's the same way.
Something
like
Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate.
Champions
Jessica
of Norrath, Return to Arms, things like that.
And I know she's listening, so I just wanted to tell everyone that we played Super Mario today, two-player, for like maybe 4 hours, and she kicked my ass. Luigi had half of those fucking levels. I've never seen anyone play Super Mario 3 that
way. My girlfriend could play the shit out of some Guitar Hero or Rock Band. I just look at it and I go...
The hottest thing she's ever said to me is when she turned to me and said, "So do you know where the third whistle is?" And I went, "Oh my god, I love you."
Hey, you know you got a good girl when she's looking at you like... What, bitch? You ain't got game.
You ain't got no game. And the second game is Mark Hamill and Biff. The guy who played Biff from Back to the Future made an appearance in this game. Wing Commander, The Price of Freedom.
Oh, yes.
Four discs.
That's right.
Great game. If anyone's ever played, I'm talking to younger people as well if you're listening. Muggin, that is a great game. Because you have the choice to choose where the story's going to go. They'll stop and be like, would you like to go here? Or would you like very much like Starship Troopers. Would you like to know more? They just, would you like to go left or would you like to go right? And you completely controlled, even though the space battles were garbage, but the video was good.
Yeah. What do you guys, prefer those games that have, that give you a lot of chances to alter and change the storyline?
I only
and
like...
And have multiple endings?
See, I don't like that. I like the aspect, I like to develop my character. Mm-hmm. I like any game that allow me to either change accessories or stats or the abilities of your characters.
I like that. Yeah. Like Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate. Have you played Sacred 2 for PS3?
Yes. Perfect
example.
You
know, games like that. You know, large sandbox games where you can just play continuously for hours and never reach the end. See, I like games like that as well, but I also like the games where you can get a different ending every time you play, almost.
We brought up Darkstone for PlayStation. I recommended it because it's a really interesting game. Graphics are garbage, but it's interesting. The story is pretty phenomenal.
I've heard of that one
before. We brought up Wing Commander Price of Freedom with Biff and Mark Hamill.
Oh, it's fucking Wing Commander, too.
So, Dallas, do you got any games on your radar?
Not really. I don't play a lot of games. Like I said, I've been playing the Legend of Zelda game for like
You're an old school
months.
Guy, huh?
I am. But one
Me
game
too.
I'm looking forward to is The Last Guardian, which is by the same team that it's a Sony team. Sony Development One team that created Ico and Shadow
Ico,
of the Colossus.
Yeah. There we go.
And
it's a great game.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't played the HD versions. They released them in HD and for the PS3. Well, it's those video games, some of the best times of my life, because I bought Ico. When it first came out, I picked it up just because the artistic sensibilities look fantastic. So I got it. And Ellie and I would sit up till 3 in the morning playing that damn game, trying to figure out the puzzles. So we finished that. We jumped on a Shadow of the Colossus, and it was fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know anything about The Last Guardian other than the name, and I think I've seen a couple screenshots. But I'm looking forward to it just because it's by the same team that did those two games.
We're looking at least 2 or 3 years for Last Guardian.
Now, I know we're coming to a close here, but I have one really good question. I'd really like to get your guys' info on. One last question. It's one quick answer. Your favorite video game based on the story?
God of War.
Red Dead Redemption.
Final Fantasy IV.
Final Fantasy IV, that's a good one. Mine's Final Fantasy VIII. Garbage game, but I love the story.
Yeah.
It is a good story.
It is a good story. Yeah.
But the game is... it's like having godlike Pokemon the whole time.
I almost said 9. Have you played 9?
I chose you, Ifrit. Yeah, 9. I've played every Final Fantasy. I've only beaten...
9 is my favorite.
I've only beaten 6.
Yeah,
I've only beaten
great.
6 of them.
You've beaten 6 of the games? I've beaten... Yeah, I don't know.
Because some I lose interest in, because if I don't like the story, I don't play
it anymore.
Well,
unfortunately, that's like 8. I played about probably good 20 hours or so into 8, and I just stopped because I couldn't get into it. And I think it was a lot of the playing. It was the fights. It was...
Very repetitive.
Yeah,
it
really was.
But when you got through the story, it was so worth it.
Yeah, I let you try 13 when it was linear for the first...
Again, like
I was gonna say, I got about 12 hours into 13 and stopped that one, and that's sitting in my house.
Cube was the game.
12, actually. You know what? 12.
Cube. The guy who flips the.
Oh yeah,
cube.
Yeah.
My God.
We were talking about rolling.
Wow.
Actually, I might
bring it back around again.
I might go back and say 12 might be my favorite Final Fantasy game. Not gonna lie.
12, really?
That was. God, it took me 120 hours to beat that game. But
it does take a long time. I think
that was a great
you know what's
one.
Funny? I have that game at home, and I guarantee you, I have maybe 20 hours left on it.
You still have, you know what?
Perusing and fighting sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes
it winds down
just to play.
The story's fantastic, but it winds down in the second half. It really does. It's just kind of piecemeal.
Borderlands is a great game.
Yeah.
The DLC.
Because you just like to run around and shoot shit.
Yeah, exactly. Just like to run around and shoot shit.
You know those characters just going to reanimate when you fucking save and you come back? They're there.
Well, and that's one of the good things about games like that is that they will come back and you can
get
to
jump in the
vehicles,
weapon development.
Like I loved Infamous. Infamous was a great game. Problem I had is once you beat the game and you had all these powers... There's nobody left to fucking kill.
Yeah, so you were just walking around picking up
blast
shells.
You're walking around being like, I'm a badass, I'm a badass. Nobody to kill.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to end this episode. This was a thank you guys for sticking through with us. This was a very long episode, but it was a fantastic one about video games, our first one and hopefully the first of many. I want to thank Cameron and Craig for showing up and hanging out with us. Hopefully we're going to have you guys in episode 30.
Yeah, trust me. We'll be back.
So thank you, everyone, for listening. I want to remind everyone, if you don't know already, that we now have a new site. So if you visit our old blog site, it will have a link to the new one. The new site is bunchofdorks.com/2dimensionpodcast. And it's a fantastic site. It's part of the Bunch of Dorks
community of podcasts. And the great thing about it for you guys is you won't have to wait 30 minutes for the episode to download. It streams and it's super fast, and hopefully that's going to be very beneficial to you guys. Otherwise, you can also find us on Facebook. Check us out on our Facebook page. Friend us. You know, leave some comments. Also, you can find my webcomic at mightybluecomic.blogspot.com. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And on behalf of everyone, I hope you had a great time, and we'll see you next time. And in the meantime, read more comics.
And play more video games.
And jack those joysticks.